want to introduce Ayananda Bodhi, who we're very fortunate to have here, especially because she's offered to lead the morning metta meditation. So it would be lovely, I think, to have another kind of guidance from somebody who has a very deep practice over at least 30 years in robes. And I think we actually first met in Amaravati in 2009 before you left.
Just before that, you had
some kind of impression on me even then, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's the same impression I have now of like a gravitas and calm, but a playfulness. And it was immediately kind of relaxing for me and very endearing. So yeah. I actually went to Alokavihara, your former monastery in 2016. Yeah. During my first year back in England, when I had literally nowhere to live, and the Alliance for Bhikkhunis sponsored my ticket, that's how I could come.
That's great.
And I had to.
We chanted a lot, didn't we?
Yeah, we did probably.
I remember.
And it was so wonderful. And because of that, actually, your community and monastery inspired how I tried to develop this. Mm-hmm. So I owe a great debt of gratitude. And Aya is also one of our advisors. To the project, so I can check in with her and gain from your wisdom whenever necessary. But more than that, you're just a very good friend and elder sister to me. So it's really a blessing to have you here. And hopefully a blessing for everyone else as well. So I will hand over to Aya and disappear from the screen. Yay!
Okay. Not very well. Try to speak up a little bit.
So it's very lovely to be part of a regular metta gathering. It's such an important quality that the world needs, individuals need, and the world needs at this time. And I feel like the more people who are generating metta for all beings, the better. And, the Buddha, I'm sure you're all familiar with the Metta Sutta, probably. And, at the end of the Metta Sutta, the Buddha says, he talks about all of these people, all kinds of different people that we should have metta for, that develop the heart of metta for all sorts of people, all sorts of beings, and for the whole world. Loving kindness for all the world, metancha sambalo kasming. And then at the end he says, whether standing, walking, seated or lying down, when we're not drowsy, one should take care of this recollection of metta for all beings. So he's basically saying all the time, as long as you're not half asleep or asleep. But I think you can even actually generated in sleep if you really developed that quality. But anyway, meanwhile, before then, to develop this heart of metta for all beings as an ongoing sustained recollection. So I think it's something that often we do, people often do it at the end of a meditation but sometimes people maybe do once a week metta, or it's sort of a thing, that you'd like doing the metta. But the Buddha wasn't talking about it like that. He was talking about generating this heart, mind, chitta that's open to metta and to keep kind of maintaining and recollecting and caring for that heart of metta throughout your day, with all of the different challenges that will arise. So I just wanted to give that context because I think that gets missed often. So let's find a posture for meditation. And being aware of the support beneath you, the seat, the ground beneath you, and letting yourself fully be here. fully arriving right here in your body, in this moment. Just inviting a certain resting into the gravity. Actually, if you're feeling dull and sleepy, that don't do that because it'll make you fall asleep. But if you're a little bit high, your energy's a little bit high, just really letting yourself rest into the gravity that's keeping you here on this planet at this moment. So you fully arrive in your body, body and mind together. If you're feeling a bit sleepy, then maybe more of a sense of the space around you and then a sense of uplift with the in-breath. So we're always trying to find that middle way, middle path. If you're too sleepy, a little bit more energy, too agitated or excited, a little bit grounding. And then from here, I'd like to invite you to, as you breathe in, have a sense of your breath connecting with your heart center. If it's helpful, you can touch your heart center. So not your physical heart to the left, but just the center, in the center of your chest. With the in-breath, you're connecting your in-breath with your heart center. So in effect, breathing into the heart center. And I like to think that at any time, somewhere in the world, someone, probably many people, are generating metta for all beings. So we don't have to start with kind of churning out metta for ourselves if we're not able to do that. We can start with taking in the metta that others are generating. And I promise you, there's at least one person and probably two people right now doing that, probably many more. So taking in the metta, taking it into your heart. Letting your heart be bathed with metta. And if your heart is troubled or tired or worried or hurt, and let it be bathed with this beautiful quality of metta. It's an energy. Then letting any boundaries between your heart and the rest of your body, let them dissolve. So noticing if there are any edges or boundaries, or maybe a skin or a sense of leatheriness or whatever it might be. And just invite that quality of metta that you're breathing in to just dissolve the boundaries of your heart. So metta outside the heart, metta inside the heart. Just metta. Permeable. So So as you breathe in, you're still taking in this quality of unconditional love, friendliness, warmth. Breathing it in, and as you breathe out, just letting that spread throughout the whole of your body, body and mind, every cell of your body. Let it be drenched with metta, bathed in metta. And staying present and steady, keeping your attention on this attention and intention to bathe every cell of your body, not missing any corner of your body. Just letting it all be bathed with metta. Then letting that quality go beyond the body. So still breathing in, strengthening the metta. And breathing out, just letting that quality radiate beyond your body. In all directions, into the earth, into the air around you, and above you. Each in-breath, brightening the quality of metta. With each out breath, just letting it naturally spread in all directions, just as the sun shines in all directions. Not putting limits on it, not putting boundaries on it, just letting it be limitless, boundless. That limitless, boundless might be small, might be medium, it might be great. Just to not hold it back in any way. Maybe thoughts or feelings that arise, and just let them also be bathed with metta. Then keeping your attention on the focus of metta. At the center of your heart, radiating out through you and beyond you for the benefit of all beings. So as we generate metta in this way, we let go of the story of me and mine for a while. There's just metta radiating. And the body is still here. The world is still here. It's all still here. But we're not in that small story of me. So metta breaks down the separation between me and the rest of the world. And it opens up the contraction of the heart. The heart contracts when it experiences, sees or hears difficult things, remembers difficult things. Or if it's just self-absorbed. So with this metta practice, radiating metta in all directions, unconditionally, we move out of that small story into a beautiful and integrated reality. So metta influences the world. Metancha sambalo kasmi. Metta for all the world. So the world and beings and including you need that metta. We need to be connected to that beautiful, warm, radiant, clear, unconditionally friendly quality. It is as real or even perhaps more real than the things that we get caught up in the world. So as we come towards the end of this meditation, being aware of the quality of your heart and mind right now, being aware of your body, seeing how it feels to be here. Being aware of your environment, the room that you're in, the place that you are. And you can, now at the end of a metta meditation, you can end with the metta just radiating. Sometimes people find that difficult, that we end up being too open. And the world is at times a harsh world. So another alternative would be to gather the metta energy into the center of your heart, like a little, like a little ball of light. So it's right there, centered in your heart. Potent, present, available. And you can let that rest there in your heart through this day. It stays present through your noticing, through your awareness and intention. So we come to the end of the meditation. So if anyone has any questions or comments that they'd like to ask or add, very welcome. Yes. Terry.
Thank you. I realise within myself I'm reasonably exclusive as to who to my meta-giving. I think I'm an open person, but if I, in my sort of meditation, I realise I've got many areas that I fight to give metta to, thinking of the world's condition, our political and military leaders, very challenging.
Yes, you know, the way the Buddha is teaching the meditation practice particularly, I mean, actually in the Metta Sutta, he does really list all these different kinds of people. But in the meditation practice, which comes up again and again in the suttas, it's not really getting into the people. It's generating a heart, a citta, you know, a heart mind of metta, for the, you know, that radiates in all directions. So I think this is something. I think when we think about, so it can be at the beginning really helpful to think about certain people. Because there can be people who arouse metta, and then it helps, it's more access, you know. And then there's people we are close to, people we love, people we know, people we like the sound of, you know, that's easy. But the limitation of doing it with an idea of people is that then you've got those really difficult people, inevitably. So what do you do with them? So once metta is cultivated, you can also, you know, intentionally send to the people who are really difficult. But the meditation practice that the Buddha's pointing to isn't like that. It's actually just generating this field of metta here in the heart center and letting it radiate out in all directions for the benefit of all beings. It's not getting involved in who, where, when. It's just radiating that quality out for all beings. So it's a very impersonal quality in some ways, but it's not cold in any way. It's warm, radiant, bright, loving, but kind of like the sun. You know, it's not, the sun isn't saying, oh, I'll shine, I like Anukampa, I'm going to shine on Anukampa, but I'm not going to shine on those people, you know, over there who are doing something, you know. It's just shining. So it's kind of like that. It's cultivating a heart like a sun that can shine in all directions. Love to hear from others.
And feel free to write in the chat if that's easier for you. Someone said, thanks for that lovely meditation. Thanks, that was super. Perhaps the most awful people need metta the most.
Indeed, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's also a really good workout for us, you know, to have metta for those difficult people. Good workout for the heart. Very quiet.
Yeah, they're often very quiet after this session.
That's nice.
But, yeah, we have
Alvira. Alvira, hello.
Hi, thank you so much for the lovely meditation. For someone who's going through depression, what's the best form of metta meditation or maybe some other form?
Thank you. Yes. I think a very helpful one is to have a sense of taking in the metta, taking in metta, because metta is always being generated somewhere by someone. I think of it actually as just here. I don't know whether that's canonically correct, but in my experience, there is just metta, you know. There's a field of metta all the time. And so rather than trying to generate metta when you're feeling oppressed by the depression, to take in that metta, to receive it, And to let it bathe you, to let it bathe your mind, to let it bathe the cells in your body, and to let it be like an environment or a sort of a holding for you as you go through that depression. I also had very bad depression for years on and off, and metta was so helpful, you know. And sometimes when you're in that very low state, it's hard to generate, you know. So, but then you can just think of Ayachanda, you know, generating metta. And then it's like, oh yeah, don't waste that metta, take some in.
So we have some comments in the chat. Hang on. Just scroll up. I found it very helpful to open up to receiving metta radiated by others. Thanks for the lovely session. That reminds me of bodhicitta practice. Felt I was floating in and out, back into the warmth in my heart. Valuable practice. Thank you. Thanks for the wonderful meditation. It helped release some pressure, find a bit more peace and ease. So lucky to have Ananda Bodhi with her wisdom and metta. Wow, lots of comments coming in. I'll keep reading through. So lovely to see and hear Ananda Bodhi again. May you be well. Thank you so much. Sorry for being late. Connection problems. Thank you for leading. Finding metta meditation and chanting has helped me to conduct the right metta action with people around me that need it, as well as within myself. Thank you for everyone's company this morning. And another one. Thank you so much for the meditation. If you want to come back to any of that.
Yeah. That's, you know, one thing with metta is I think it's very, there's a lot of room for creativity. So, you know, the Buddha gives these very broad instructions about radiating metta unconditionally, unlimited. And this is a beautiful practice, but even within that, there's quite a few different ways one can pick it up. So I found it really helpful to experiment a bit what works, because it's very, I feel it's quite a vital quality for the path. And we all have, you know, everyone has limitations of the heart and, you know, difficulties that they carry, and you know, just looking at the state of the world, they can just, if you just take in the news, you know, can feel really depressed and oppressed. It's just one angle on the world. So we all have these kind of, you know, heavy things that are part of our experience of life. And so to generate this quality of metta that isn't oppressed by any of that, and that is transforming that, is really important. And so to find your own way, you know, like for me, it was right from the beginning, it was taking it in. I used to think of it as just raining down, or even walking down the street, take in metta, you know, going from sitting on the bus, take in metta, you know. But find your own way, what works for you to generate that. Because it's really, really important. Yeah. And I get a feel for the different characters a little bit as in the chat. It's like, yeah, we're all very different. And so to find what works for you. And thank you for your welcome and friendliness. Mm-hmm. Yeah, finding more peace and ease. Yes. Releasing pressure. It does, because it's opening up the sense of it breaks down the sense of self and other. Ultimately, yeah, sort of heals us here in the center and breaks down the otherness,
which I guess is one of the main obstructions to metta, isn't it, when we get into our kind of judgment of ourselves or others.
Yeah.
And start seeing them as different or even alien,
right, or parts of ourselves we can't accept. With that often.
Yeah, and that can mean emotions, can't it?
Can be stories from the past. Yeah. That's why I really emphasize that doing it on an energetic level, because that doesn't engage. Mm. It's not up here. It's directly in the heart.
Mm.
And it's different that way.
There's another question here. If I want to generate metta, should I focus only on pleasant sensations?
That's an interesting question. No, I wouldn't say so. I think to generate metta, you need to, first of all, have the intention of, have a sense of what metta is and as a quality. So it's friendly, it's bright, it's warm, it's unconditional. It's very accepting. So to have a sense of that quality. And then as you bring that in, this is my way anyway, as you bring that in, you might find all kinds of stuff in here that isn't very pleasant. But you don't let that get in the way of the metta. You just let the metta meet that. So you can be present with the contractions, with the, you know, with the physical difficulties or whatever might be going on, emotional stuff. You can be present with that, but the metta is, you're bringing metta to that. So the emphasis is on the pleasant quality of metta specifically, not just any old pleasant quality, but it's not pushing out. It doesn't say, I can't have metta because I have a pain in my knee, or I can't have metta because I'm so hurt from a situation that happened, but it's bringing the metta to that.
Another comment. Thank you. I often find metta meditation can be quite energetic and then tiring afterwards.
Yeah.
But taking it in was very resourcing.
That's interesting. Yeah, there may be something about the shift from the metta practice to your ordinary life because feeling exhausted afterwards doesn't feel, because the metta can give you energy. And see whether you can maybe contain that a bit before you come out of the meditation so that you have it inside, you know, so that you're not just radiating out for all beings and then exhausted. And I think that is something that can happen. I don't know if you don't have that so much in the UK, but in the US, you have these heating systems. You have forced air where you heat up the air and you blow it through vents into the house, into the building. Do you have that here? No. We don't have that in the UK. And then you have radiant heat, so where you heat up something like a radiator, or if you've got a wood stove, you heat up something, and then that radiates the heat once it's warm. So to practice metta like radiant heat, not like forced air, because if we practice like forced air, we've got lots of energy, it's all going out, but then so you've got to generate it here, get some strength here of metta in your being. And then from here, you let it radiate out. And so then when you come to the end of your metta meditation, it's all here. It's just maybe you're not letting it radiate out so much. It's just letting it resonate here in your heart and mind.
We've just got a couple more minutes, but I'll just read through the last comments because I always feel it's really beautiful to include everyone. I think we might have to move in here, some of you, to start preparing the food, but we'll just wrap up in 2 minutes. Metta meditation calms me down and gives me much peace. I've added it before my daily morning meditation practice.
Before? That's interesting.
To me, in the beginning, metta was an abstract quality that I could not really recognize yet. Then it also cost me a lot of energy, but now I more and more feel it.
Good. Yay.
And Leslie, thank you so much, Aya, for sharing your wisdom. So inspiring. Yay.
Thank you.
Sadhu,
sadhu, sadhu.
Thank you all for being here. It's actually quite a lot of people, 29 people here today. It was really wonderful. And thank you on behalf of the whole community, but also for myself. It's really lovely to be guided in metta.
Mm.
And I was finding I'm bringing the metta to some bruised parts of the heart today.
Yeah, so important.
Which I think I might not have felt had I just gone into the sending metta to others.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it was really lovely for me. So, yeah. Great. So we'll unmute you now and wave goodbye. I think our next session is like Wednesday chanting, and then Friday's with the discussion next week. So see you somewhere soon.